Great news, everybody. Currys PC World stores are safely back open with even better deals. Our big clearance has savings on all the big brands you love, with amazing deals all over the shop. We've got social distancing and regular cleaning, so you can shop safely. So pop round and talk tech in person with your local in-store expert today. Hurry down now. Once the deals are gone, they're gone. At Currys PC World. Find out online if your local store is open.
How does she not understand that this could be her last chance? I mean, does she not recognize this? This could be this woman's last shot on a national stage, and she is going to fuck it all up. And then she'll have no one to blame but herself. She will not be able to blame AEW or WWE or anyone else. She will have nobody to blame but Ivelisse.
That was from episode 670. Of the Sound Off back on September 20th. And it only took 7 months, but it appears that Ivelisse may be done with AEW. She posted a tweet that she has since deleted, writing, "History repeats itself, unfortunately. I speak up about mistreatment and get let go. That's life." AEW has been silent on her status so far, but there are reports of disagreements or issues of some kind with agents behind the scenes, which is why it's been weeks since she's appeared on any of their shows. You'll notice it's been quite a while since you've either heard from Ivelisse, seen her even sitting in the crowd with Diamante. She has not been around. And of course, there's also reports of issues with Thunder Rosa, that Ivelisse had some kind of issue or issues with her. I saw she was going off on Thunder Rosa in replies to other people earlier today on Twitter, just a few hours ago, in fact, about how Thunder Rosa was being unprofessional in their dealings. Honestly, they should have just washed their hands of her after they had that match on television with the Snapmare spot, which I'm sure you've seen being shared around on social media again earlier today. I had retweeted it earlier today. It had been a while, so I had forgotten about it. I had forgotten about how embarrassing that was. So when I hear the word unprofessional being used and being thrown around like that, I do think it's kind of rich, because that, honestly, that spot for something that aired on television is one of the most unprofessional things that I have ever seen. So it's funny to hear her tweeting about Thunder Rosa being unprofessional when that's the first thing I think of. And all I can do is just shake my head. There was only one person acting unprofessional in that instance, and I'll give you a hint. It wasn't Thunder Rosa. So, if she is gone, and again, AEW has not commented on this officially one way or the other, AEW is not known for cutting people. The only person that I believe AEW has actually fired or released, to my knowledge, was Jimmy Havoc. You know, there were other talent that, I think because of the pandemic and travel restrictions, AEW wasn't using them anymore, but you really don't hear stories about AEW firing people. So this would be a rare instance of that happening. If she is gone, then she blew her last chance with a big company. She's done. And it's too bad, because I enjoyed her work in Lucha Underground. I was actually a big advocate for her on my show for a very long time. I couldn't understand how is it the WWE, she had a tryout there. How is it the WWE didn't snatch this woman up? Especially, you know, they put more emphasis on their women's division, the women's revolution. On Lucha Underground, she was booked to be this really badass, kind of independent type of character, wrestling men, and I mean, that's a lot of what you saw in Lucha Underground. But I just, for the life of me, couldn't understand how come there's no other big company that is ready to just swoop in and make an offer to this woman. And I can remember getting a couple of different emails from people who, you know, I won't say who they were, but they were, you know, in the wrestling business, people who would know, who would hear me asking this question. And they would send me a message and say, "Hey, you know, Solomonster, I just want to give you a heads up on why nobody wants to touch this woman." And even still, I said, you know, she at least deserves a shot. I still felt like she at least deserved a chance. is to me, all it was were just stories and rumors and conjecture, and I still felt like she deserved a chance. And she was given a chance. She was given a chance by AEW. And now it appears that it has ended in predictable fashion. I almost feel like a fool for even suggesting it in the first place. This is your AEW Dynamite review for April 14, 2021. I am the Sala Monster. This did not feel like an episode of Dynamite without Tony Schiavone attempting to interview Sting and being interrupted by Lance Archer or Jake Roberts. It just didn't feel right. And we almost got an episode of Dynamite that was completely Sting-free. I was looking at the clock. I saw the main event was coming up. I said, oh, we might actually get through an episode of Dynamite without Sting. They might actually give Sting the week off. I spoke too soon, because there he was, showing up in the main event. I feel like everybody showed up in the main event. Interference left and right. Here comes Sting. So, in fact, Sting did make an appearance tonight on TV. They almost gave Sting a week off, but not quite. But this was the first AEW night officially unopposed. NXT moved, as of last night, to its new night on Tuesdays, and NXT did 805,000 viewers on USA Network. That was the show's highest mark since their Halloween Havoc show at the end of October. Actually did better than their first night of TakeOver did last week, although, again, that was opposed by AEW. So clearly, AEW takes a chunk out of NXT, and they had a nice number this week, and they can build on that and grow from there. Yeah, to me, if AEW does anything under 900,000 for tonight's show, and I think they probably will, but I feel like if they do anything under 900,000, it's got to be considered a disappointment. I don't expect AEW to hit a million, even though they advertised the Mike Tyson appearance. You know, Tyson had already been on the show last week. You know, he was going to be the enforcer. It's not like he was going to be wrestling in a tag team match or anything. I don't think that's going to have that much of an effect. I don't think he'll have the Shaq effect. Shaq actually did lead to quite a few new viewers that one week, and then they all went away. I don't see the show doing 900,000 territory, let alone a million. But I feel like if they can at least hit that level, it's got to be considered something of a disappointment. We'll find out. Be interesting to see how they do. This was a taped show, not a live show. I'm not sure that's going to really have any effect on it one way or the other, but we'll see when the numbers come in tomorrow. So we begin with Iron Mike Tyson. Iron Mike Tyson opened the show, and every time he opens his mouth, I just can't help but laugh. Now, I wouldn't have the guts to say this in front of his face, but, you know, he starts talking, and he goes, "Hi, it's Mike Tyson, everybody," and, you know, he's talking, he's doing his promo, he's talking about how excited he was to be here tonight. And he gets interrupted by MJF, the only appearance that MJF made on the entire show. And MJF attempts to bribe Mike Tyson. He attempted to bribe Mike Tyson as if Tyson needs the money. But he showed him a blank check with his name on it. And was basically hoping that he would kind of turn against Chris Jericho, who he's all buddy-buddy with all of a sudden. He wanted Tyson to be on the right side of history because Tyson was going to be the special enforcer for the Jericho-Dax Harwood match a little bit later on in the show. Tyson responded to this by ripping up the check and shoving it in his mouth and eating it, and then spitting part of it back out in MJF's face. Nothing like a good check for a midday snack. So that was how the show opened tonight. But every time Tyson opens his mouth, I just can't. You talk about somebody who, especially you look at Tyson in his prime when he was a killer. You talk about the voice not matching the face. I've had people email me over the years before I started doing video on YouTube and say, "Man, I've been listening to you for like 10 years. I didn't know what you look like. Man, that voice and the face, they don't go together." Mike Tyson is like the ultimate example of the face and the voice not going together. But he could get away with it because if anybody said anything to him, he would punch him in the fucking face and that would be the end of him. Like poor Cash Wheeler tonight. We had Pac and Rey Fénix of Death Triangle against the newly heel Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team Championship. I was looking forward to this match for really ever since Revolution, when Pac and Phoenix earned the right to challenge for the titles. Pac had an ankle injury, so they had to put the match off for a little while. The heel turn was probably the best for the Bucks, because now they can be as obnoxious as they want to be, and it works. It actually works now, with them being the heels, because instead of them being a couple of bratty baby faces, they can be obnoxious heels and just be themselves. Now, the key is not to turn them right back to being a baby face in a few weeks. Hopefully, they can just settle in this role for a while. What are my thoughts on the match? I actually thought that this was one of the best tag team matches in AEW history. Not just Dynamite history, but in the history of the company, which admittedly is not that long. But for a company that does a lot of tag team matches, I wouldn't put this above the one from Revolution last year with the Bucks and Hangman and Omega, but this is up in that territory. I thought this was an excellent match. There were a pair of stereo power bombs at one point on the edge of the apron by the Bucks. They were acting very heelish during the match, more punches and more back scratching and back rakes, channeling their inner Hulk Hogan, who would always do that whether he was a heel or a babyface. As I said many years ago on the podcast, Hogan was never a babyface. He was a heel, masquerading as a babyface. Which now we know, all these years later, he only confirmed it. But even when he would wrestle as a babyface, he would eye gouge, he would back rake. Jesse Ventura was right. He had it right the whole time. And that's even before he knew that Hulk Hogan was a fucking rat. He knew. So the Bucks were acting more heelish. Phoenix took out Nick Jackson with a springboard crossbody. And he hit this absolutely crazy springboard hurricanrana. He was walking the ropes, and he had both Bucks. He was using one for leverage. I can't even explain what this guy does. I typed it in the chat before we went live tonight. I said, Rey Fénix is not a human being. I don't know what he is. He's from the planet Remlon or something. I don't know. He's from whatever planet Chris Statlander is from, but he is not of this earth. The things that he does, he should not be able to do. He had a double cutter on the Bucks for a near fall. Pac tagged in for another double team. Hit a blue thunder bomb for a near fall. So Pac headed up to the top rope. Matt Jackson rolled out of the way of a black arrow. Nick hit a destroyer on Phoenix. Pac and Matt traded strikes. They both transitioned out onto the apron. So now they're on the outside of the ring. And you have one member of the Bucks and you have one member of Death Triangle hitting stereo poison ranas to the opposing team members. So half a Death Triangle is wiped out, right? I think Pac was the one who took the poison rana. I believe Matt Jackson took the other one. So now we're left with Nick Jackson and Rey Fénix. And Nick sent Fénix to the out into the crowd, basically threw him over the barricade. Fénix landed on his feet. So he goes to springboard from the crowd back into the ringside area, and Nick Jackson catches him with a super kick as he attempts to do that. Phoenix, though, pops right back up, hits a cutter on the floor. And you kind of get numb to the no-selling of some of these moves. Somebody will hit a super kick, but they'll no-sell it to hit another move real quick, and now both guys are down. It annoys me. What are you going to do? I mean, it's in every match at this point. That stuff, it does bother me. I wish they wouldn't do that. But moving on. Back in the ring, Pac hit a superplex to Matt Jackson, followed by a frog splash from Rey Fénix for a near fall. Pac tagged back in, went for the black arrow, and nailed it. And he nailed it. He came right down on Matt Jackson's face, it looked like. Fénix was trying to prevent Nick from interfering. And of course, at just the right moment, Nick finally manages to push Rey Fénix back into the pin attempt to break up the pin. Nick drags Matt over to the corner so he can tag himself in. Pac tries for a German suplex on Nick. Nick uses a low blow with his leg from behind the referee's back. I believe the referee for the match was Rick Knox, which, if it was, not surprising. Not exactly the best ref in AEW. So the fact that he would not see this is not surprising. Phoenix flew in for the springboard, but Nick caught him with a super kick on the way down, a la Shawn Michaels and Shelton Benjamin. I always pop for that spot. And then Nick Jackson, in the heel, in the most heelish of heel moves, grabs Rey Fénix's mask and rips it right off his head. And he quickly covers his face. And the Bucks hit stereo super kicks to Fénix, who all he can do is keep his hands on his face. He falls backwards. And they pin Rey Fénix to retain the tag team titles. This was a pretty crazy opener. All action. It went about 20 minutes, but you know, you have two teams here, two of the best teams in the world. Now, really, you know, it's the Lucha Bros, but you can put Pac in there, and Pac is great. So Pac and Rey Fénix, they're going to be a great team. You have two fantastic teams. They went in there, and they had what I thought was, as I said before, one of the best tag team matches in the history of AEW. And this is a company that does a lot of tag team matches, maybe too many tag team matches and six-man tags. But I enjoyed this. This was a hot opener, and I think the Bucks have finally settled into the role that they are comfortable in and that they will hopefully stay in, because I think it works a lot better than them being babyfaces.
Great news, everybody. Curry's PC World stores are safely back open with even better deals. Our big clearance has savings on all the big brands you love, with amazing deals all over the shop. We've got social distancing and regular cleaning, so you can shop safely. So pop round and talk tech in person with your local in-store expert today. Hurry down now. Once the deals are gone, they're gone. At Curry's PC World. Find out online if your local store is open.
We had Hangman Page in the back. He was being flanked by the Dark Order. And Alex Marvez wanted to get his thoughts on what's been going on with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, and Hangman was drinking, I know, big surprise, and he completely avoided the question, and he wanted just to talk about John Silver, his injured shoulder. He's going to be out for a few more weeks, and off went Hangman Page without answering the question. We had the Inner Circle being interviewed in the back by Marvez. They were standing there with Mike Tyson. This feels like a conflict of interest here before Jericho's match with Dax Harwood, that he has the special enforcer with him. But Chris Jericho, who's a babyface now, says that after they got their asses kicked by the Pinnacle a few weeks ago, he had a moment of introspection, and he felt the need to reach out to all of the people that he has wronged. And one of those people, the very first person that he called, was Mike Tyson. He wanted to apologize to Iron Mike. They have a history together. He mentioned that Mike knocked him out on a Monday night many years ago. And so they made up, and now they're very friendly with each other, but he says he doesn't want any special favors from Tyson tonight in the match. He just wants it called right down the middle, which Tyson said that's what he was going to do. He was going to call the match right down the middle. He said, "I'm firm, but I'm fair." That's what Mike Tyson said. May the best man win. We had Jade Cargill one-on-one against Red Velvet. This, I thought, was a surprisingly good match when you consider the fact that this was only the fourth match of Jade Cargill's wrestling career. And it was a singles match. It was not a tag team match where you can kind of hide her. She's in there one-on-one. I thought she looked good. Red Velvet looked good. So the future for her looks good. If she, you know, handles herself this well four matches in, I think the future looks bright for Jade Cargill. Every time I see her, just a little bit better. It'll take time. But the woman has star written all over her. She looks the part. Now the work has to come along. She didn't embarrass herself here. I thought she looked fine. Red Velvet was throwing strikes right away. She was immediately taken down with a pump kick. Down she goes. Red Velvet escaped a suplex attempt, hit a high kick, sent Jade out to the floor, and followed up with a crazy tope. This was like a Rey Fénix or Darby Allin-esque tope through the ropes, just completely throwing her body into harm's way. But at least it looked good. This was not a weak-looking dive, and she collided with Jade, took Jade down out on the floor. Jade fought back, ended up hitting a fall-away slam, and dumped her. Dumped her backwards into the front row. They go to break, they come back. Red Velvet hits a cyclone kick. She avoids a spear in the corner. That sends Cargill into the corner, into the ring post, shoulder first. And Velvet follows up with a bulldog and a standing moonsault for a near fall. She goes up top for a moonsault. Jade rolls out of the way and hits her wheelbarrow facebuster for the win. She's calling it Jaded, and she gets the pin. Fine battle this was. I have nothing bad to say about this match. I thought this was quite good. Better than I expected it to be. I'm telling you, Jade Cargill. This woman is a star. Speaking of stars, we go to Tony Schiavone earlier in the day in the back with Dr. Britt Baker and Reba, and they are at the wall. There's a monitor, and on the monitor are the rankings. They're actually acknowledging the rankings on TV. This is good. This is a good thing. Something they weren't doing enough of before. Now, when I laid out my plan for where to go with Britt Baker coming out of that lights out match with Thunder Rosa, I looked at the rankings and I said, okay, I think Britt Baker at the time was number, I don't know, she might have been number three. Ty Conti was ahead of her. I think Red Velvet maybe was ahead of her. And I said, you can easily map this out. You've got time between now and Double or Nothing at the end of May, their next big pay-per-view. We knew that Jade Cargill was going to wrestle Red Velvet, and we knew she was going to beat Red Velvet, which she did tonight. So now Red Velvet has another loss. As Britt Baker pointed out here, I think only Ty Conti is ahead of her. And Ty Conti is challenging for the championship next week against Sheeta. She ain't going to win. You know why? Because it's going to be Britt Baker, who said that you can see her on AEW Dark Elevation. She's going to continue to rack up wins, and everything is matching up perfectly for her to become the number one contender for the title. She will beat Sheeta. She should beat Sheeta at Double or Nothing at the end of next month. She's going to be your next AEW Women's Champion. You can mark it down right now. We had the in-ring debut of QT Marshall's boy, the Olympic medalist Anthony Ogogo, making his in-ring debut, taking on Cole Carter, who we were told, I think, has only been in the business for 8 months, so two rookies against each other. Ogogo was a big prospect on the British boxing scene, and his career was cut short. He had multiple eye injuries. Not 20 seconds into the match, Ogogo threw a liver punch that the announcers sold big, and it was such a devastating body blow. The referee, Paul Turner, he didn't waste any time. He took one look at this guy, and he called the match off, and he awarded the victory via ref stoppage to Anthony Ogogo. He did it so quickly, though. It's like, how? Because they said, because Cole Carter was unable to continue, the winner is Anthony Ogogo. And I'm just looking at this going, this happened so quickly. He literally just punched the guy in the midsection. And yeah, the guy was selling it. But the referee immediately called for the bell. I didn't see him consulting with the guy. Maybe it was so quick I missed it. He just called for the bell. I thought that happened a little too quickly. At least call the doctor over. They instantly called an end to this match. So they're going to try to put this punch over. There's nothing to really say about Ogogo. I mean, we saw him for 20 seconds. You know, he's brand new to the wrestling business. I think he's been at the Nightmare Factory training now for some time. But there isn't really anything I can say, because what can you say about the guy in 20 seconds? I can't judge how good he is in 20 seconds. You know, maybe his girlfriend can, but that's different. So we still have yet to see what this guy can really do. It's kind of like the Jade Cargill thing. When she was going to be in the tag team match with Shaq, I said, we don't know what we're going to get in either one of these people. We've never seen Shaq in a tag team wrestling match before, and we had never seen Jade Cargill in a match because she never had one. So we didn't have anything to really base it off of. Now, she's turned out to be pretty good for someone at her experience level, but I have no idea what to expect from this guy. Apparently, he can throw a punch, and that's all we know. We had Chris Jericho with Sammy Guevara in his corner, one-on-one against Dax Harwood with Cash Wheeler in his, and Iron Mike Tyson as the special guest enforcer. This probably was the first time that Mike Tyson was the guest enforcer for a wrestling match, I'm guessing, since WrestleMania 14 in 1998, where he stood outside the ring and he wasn't the referee, but he was there just to make sure that everything was kept in check. That was over 20 years ago. So Jericho immediately grabbed a chair. Tyson took it away from him. That allowed Harwood to attacked Jericho. Jericho fought back, and they fought over to where the timekeeper's table was. And Harwood had grabbed the microphone. Jericho came over. He didn't see it. And Harwood hit Jericho with the mic. Jericho then returned the favor. He grabbed a pen, and he hit Harwood in the head with the pen, right on that wound that had been opened up a couple of weeks ago. Back in the ring, Harwood tossed Jericho shoulder first into the ring post. They go to break. Come back from break. Jericho hits a diving axe handle off the top. Hits a lion salt for a near fall. And then we have to talk about this. There was a terrible spot. A terrible, inexcusable spot where Jericho had Harwood locked in the walls of Jericho. He had him in a Boston Crab. In the middle of the ring. Right in the center of the ring. And Dax Harwood is on the outside. And clearly he's, you know, up on the apron. He's looking to get involved in some way. So Jericho sees this. And Jericho has to basically walk over on his own. He still has the move applied. They're in such a position where, at least if they were reversed, Harwood could, like, crawl over slowly, right? So Jericho would have to slowly go backwards. He wouldn't see Wheeler there. Wheeler can pop him in the back of the head. Jericho is facing in that direction, and Jericho is literally walking himself over to the apron so that Cash Wheeler can punch him in the face. And he falls over, which then leads to a near fall. That was just atrocious. This looked terrible. Jericho should know better than that. I don't know how that even happens. I'm wondering if maybe they were supposed to be the other way. Because like I said, that would have made more sense. If it was Harwood looking to kind of, you know, get to the bottom rope, he can inch his way over. Then that's perfectly understandable. This just looked ridiculous. You know, when I was just reviewing WrestleMania the other night, it was WrestleMania Night 2, I believe. And we were talking about the women's tag team title match. It was Natty and Tamina against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And Nia Jax was going up on the ropes, and the spot was going to be that she comes off with a crossbody and takes down Tamina and Natty. Well, the camera is fixed on Natty, and you can see them. They're getting in position. We have to get in position because the crossbody is coming. And then they stand there, and they wait. And I said, this looks fucking ridiculous. I mean, either take the camera off of them or just know that, you know, I don't know, make some kind of sudden movement, at least pretend like you're selling or something, you're dazed, it looked terrible. And Natty's been doing this for a very long time. She should know better. Tamina's been around for years. She should know better. Jericho's been doing this for 30 years. So this would, that just was, I couldn't not draw attention to that spot. That was just dumb. So Sammy Guevara took out Cash Wheeler on the outside, and Harwood avoided the Judas effect, hit a brainbuster for a near fall. Jericho hit a code breaker. The Pinnacle ran out. Right on their tail was the Inner Circle. I mean, as soon as the Pinnacle came out of the tunnel, the Inner Circle was there. And they start brawling on the stage. It's just this total free-for-all. Wheeler was about to attack Jericho with his own baseball bat, but Mike Tyson caught him with a right hand. He caught Cash Wheeler. This was the best part of the whole match. He caught Cash Wheeler on the outside with a right hand. Oh my God. This thing looked and sounded great. I don't know if they threw a sound effect in. It was a tape show. It looked great. I just don't know, again, in the building if it made that same noise. But if not, they did a good job of editing the sound in there because the punch looked like it hit exactly where you would want it to hit. Mike Tyson throws a great work punch. Like Bad Bunny. Let's get Mike Tyson against Bad Bunny. May the best man win. Or Bunny. But man, this punch looked and sounded phenomenal. You could see Cash Wheeler, his soul leaving his body as he lied there on the ground looking. His eyes were open. He was completely dazed. I did like how Wardlow came out after and had to carry him to the back. So at least Wheeler wasn't back up on his feet 2 seconds later. He was still selling the effects of the punch. That was the best part of this whole thing. Inside the ring, Jericho hit the Judas effect for the win. The match itself was okay. You know, Dax Harwood is very good. Jericho can still go with, you know, with the right opponent in the ring. again, that Boston Crab spot was inexcusable. The best part of this was the Mike Tyson punch. The rest of the match was like, eh, it was all right. It was fine. There was nothing wrong with it, but there was nothing great about it either. After the match was over, Jericho got on the mic and announced that Mike Tyson is officially an ancillary member. He's a supplemental member. I don't know why he didn't just say honorary. He's an honorary member of the Inner Circle. And Tyson took his shirt off. He was posing with his shirt off. He likes doing that. He likes taking his shirt off. I've picked up on this. I mean, I guess if I were 54 years old and I looked the way that Mike Tyson does, I'd probably want to take my shirt off too. He keeps himself in very good shape. So Mike Tyson goes from being a member of DX to a member of the Inner Circle. Going from one faction to the other. It's an AEW specialty. They love their factions. We had Amber Nova making her AEW debut. One-on-one against the returning Chris Statlander, now part of Best Friends. This was her first match on Dynamite since tearing her ACL last year. She was out for many months after ACL surgery. Strictly a showcase for Statlander in her return. This did not last very long. Nova was firing up for a little bit. She got press slammed over her head and dumped right on her face. Statlander followed up with a cartwheel leg drop and a flipping senton that mostly missed. Roundhouse kick and the Big Bang Theory finishes it. An easy, quick win for Chris Statlander. And her fellow family members, Best Friends, they all come in the ring and they celebrate together. And she's raising Orange Cassidy's arm. And they're all happy. Everybody's happy. I'm happy to see Chris Statlander back and healthy again.
Great news, everybody. Curry's PC World stores are safely back open with even better deals. Our big clearance has savings on all the big brands you love, with amazing deals all over the shop. We've got social distancing and regular cleaning, so you can shop safely. So pop round and talk tech in person with your local in-store expert today. Hurry down now. Once the deals are gone, they're gone. At Curry's PC World. Find out online if your local store is open.
Let me welcome everybody who is joining in the chat tonight. I'm trying to speed through this review here. I want to make sure I don't forget you guys and I acknowledge everybody. And I am going to read your super chats and I have to thank you because we had an unbelievable weekend. All the WrestleMania stuff, really from Dynamite last Wednesday, right on through NXT TakeOver on Thursday. We did the TakeOver review, WrestleMania predictions and SmackDown review on Friday. Two nights of WrestleMania. I still am lacking sleep. I have not recovered. I really made a mistake by not getting as much sleep as I needed, but it was an amazing week, and I had fun hanging out with all you guys and your support. We have new members. We picked up a whole bunch of new members on the channel. Your super chats. I must have answered, I don't know, 4 dozen questions the other night. It was amazing, and I'm going to tell you about a fun thing coming up this Sunday. I'll tell you about that in a little bit, but I will read your super chats, so don't worry about that. Tony Schiavone invited Christian Cage. Shout out, by the way, to Jared. Look at that. $45 super chat drop. Saw the monster in the googly eyes. Jared, I hope you're doing well. Jared's old school. Jared's an old school guy. You know who else is an old school guy? Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone was in the ring and he invited Christian Cage out for an interview when he was interrupted. Because, of course, if Tony Schiavone is interviewing somebody, there must be an interruption. It's in his contract. So he gets interrupted by Taz with his son, Hook. Fucking great name. And powerhouse Will Hobbs. Taz had told Brian Cage and Ricky Starks to hang back. Better off that you don't come out. And he was very frustrated by Christian's lack of an answer to his offer. He had presented this offer last week to join Team Taz, and apparently Christian has not responded. And Taz was very frustrated by this. He wanted an answer. Christian said that Team Taz is a bit of a dumpster fire right now, but if you want an answer, I got an answer for you. Here's your answer. Your answer is no. I will not join. And he made a short joke about Taz, which just set Taz off. And Taz said, well, here's the deal. Actually, he said, here's the deal, shitbag. It's a great insult. I got to start using that myself. When I get these telemarketing calls that I accidentally answer thinking it's a legitimate call, I could just say to the person, hey, shitbag, stop calling me. Click. He goes, here's the deal, shitbag. If I was standing on my wallet, I'd be 10 feet above your head. I never liked you. I never liked your stupid buddy who carries your ass. And at that point, Will Hobbs walked into the ring. He attacked. Christian went on the offensive. He tried hitting the kill switch, but he couldn't do it. There was a brief distraction from Hook that allowed Hobbs to gain the advantage, and he just pummeled Christian. Took him outside the ring. He was stomping on his head on the ring steps. And so that was the segment. Powerhouse Hobbs stands tall. But it is leading to something, which I will get to in a second. The main event was Darby Allin. One-on-one against Matt Hardy. Falls count anywhere for the TNT Championship. I have to say, it was nice to see Cashflow Ken Broadway getting an opportunity to get in the ring with Matt Hardy this week on AEW Dark last night. And Private Party was out there. So I'm looking at Private Party. I'm looking at Ken Broadway. If you know anything about HOG, it's a lot of House of Glory representation out there. So that was very cool. I do miss that. I do miss calling those HOG matches, hopefully one day. So Hardy was abusing Darby with a chair early on outside the ring. Then inside the ring, Darby had these bloody welts and bruises all over his back. This guy was completely messed up. So Hardy placed Darby's head in an open chair. And what he was going to do is he was going to give him the twist of fate. But Darby countered out of it. He started teeing off on Matt with the chair. That brought out the Hardy family office, including Private Party, the Butcher and the Blade. They make their way out. They're ganging up on Darby. That brings out the Dark Order. They run out to fight them off. Here we go. And this is one of the things that I don't like about AEW when they do, and they do this far too often. Everybody runs out. It becomes like a Royal Rumble. This was completely unnecessary. And just when I thought we were going to get through a week without Sting, save Sting for when you actually want to use him for something, here comes Sting. Sting shows up. He beats up both members of Private Party. He hits one of them with a trash can shot. Clotheslines both of them out of the ring, out over the top. They cut to the final commercial break. We come back from break. Sting was about to drop Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn with stereo scorpion death drops when he spotted Lance Archer, who came out. Sting releases them, and Archer gets into the ring, and instead of going after Sting, he grabs Isaiah Cassidy, and he hits the blackout, drops him with his finish, sending a message. He's sending a message to Sting. You know, it'd be a lot easier to just install the WhatsApp app on your phone. You could send a message that way to Sting instead of having to interfere in this fucking match that you have nothing to do with. You know, there's WhatsApp, there's iMessage, you could send him a DM. So Darby makes his way back, and Sting tosses the baseball bat to him. Matt Hardy is begging off, and as Darby approaches, Matt goes low with a low blow. Matt again tries for the twist of fate with Darby's head in an open chair. This time he hits it. And he drops him down with it on stage. It is false count anywhere, so he goes for the pin. Darby kicks out. So now they brawl to the back. Through the tunnel, to the back they go. Into what is their version of the gorilla position. You can see Tony Khan, he's sitting at that table on headset. And they said BJ Whitmer. Yeah, one of the, maybe the very first, in fact. Now that I think about it, I believe it was the very first Ring of Honor show that I ever attended. Was the very last show they did at the ballroom at the New Yorker Hotel, which is right around the corner from the Manhattan Center, which is where they moved. And I believe it was on that show that there was a match between BJ Whitmer and I want to say Jimmy Jacobs. And they did this insanely dangerous spot. A powerbomb spot. a powerbomb from the top rope, but not a powerbomb into the ring. A powerbomb from the top rope into the audience. They had cleared. Now, I couldn't see from where I was sitting because it was on the opposite side, but they had cleared out a little section. I think they had some, you know, they had some wrestlers there that were going to try to catch them. I couldn't see that. It was still insanely dangerous. And he powerbombs him into the crowd. And I think it was BJ Whitmer who actually hit that powerbomb. That was my first memory or impression of BJ Whitmer, who is no longer wrestling. He is working behind the scenes now for AEW. So there's a little trivia note for you. So they're in the gorilla position area, and Matt lays Darby across the table. He sets up a ladder to climb, and he hits a leg drop, not from a very great height, but he hits a leg drop off the ladder, down through Darby and the table. He tries for another pin, and again, Darby kicks out. So Hardy brings him back into the arena. Back into the arena on the stage they go. And now Matt is eyeballing the table that is down below, a few feet down below the stage, is the area where Justin Roberts sits, right, in the timekeeper's area. He's eyeballing that table. He's going to powerbomb Darby off the stage down through the table. Darby slips out, gives Matt a taste of his own medicine with a low blow. He grabs the baseball bat and begins just teeing off on Matt with it. He destroys all the monitors on the announce desk with it, just destroys all the equipment. He lays Matt across the announce desk, and Darby disappears. So you know that Darby is going somewhere to climb, because where else would he be going? About 10 seconds later, we see Darby is scaling this giant truss, this giant piece, you know, the giant tower, column, whatever you want to call it. And he was probably a good 10 or 12 feet up in the air, and he dives off and falls backwards for a coffin drop. He nails it perfectly. If this were a target, he would have hit the bullseye. Right down through Matt Hardy, down through the table, and that's your finish. Gets the pin, and Darby Allin retains the TNT Championship. A wild match. I could have done without all the interference. I just thought it was completely unnecessary. I wasn't really a fan of that. The end result, though, I thought was a fun main event. I can overlook that. I thought it was a fun main event, though. And a solid win for Darby. Darby continues to rack up wins after making fun of the fact on TV that up until recently, he had only defended the title 3 times since November. Now they have him defending it weekly. They have him defending, or at least more often than he was before. And I thought this was a nice win for Darby. So next Wednesday, Dynamite is back live. It's going to be Hikaru Shida defending the AEW Women's Championship against Ty Conti. Powerhouse Hobbs one-on-one with Christian Cage. So the match is official. That will be next week. Ricky Starks takes on Hangman Page. And Trent of Best Friends goes one-on-one with Penta of Death Triangle. I am shocked. Shocked, I tell you. I look at this lineup for next week, and they may end up adding something. But as I look at this, no multi-man matches. I'm stunned. How could this be? How could AEW book a Dynamite episode with no multi-man matches? Right now, it's all singles matches. Right? Let me just make sure I'm not seeing things here. As of right now, they have only singles matches. Signed for next week's show. Are we sure that Tony Khan didn't get his second dose of the vaccine? Is he running a fever? They do a lot of multi-man matches on this show. So there's your Dynamite lineup for next Wednesday. They'll be back live. This was a tape show this week. So they will be live on the air. Let us check the Twitter poll. We're back to doing one poll. I forgot to put a poll up for NXT yesterday. So I don't know what you guys thought of NXT, but here's what you thought of Dynamite. 75% thumbs up, 24% thumbs down. Darlene in the chat says they'll probably add a tag match later on. I'm sure they will. They usually add more matches as the week goes on. Yeah, Mecca says, careful, card subject to change is a thing. Oh, I'm sure. I am sure that they will add some kind of, some combination of multi-man matches. But it's rare. It is rare that they announce the card in advance. And they don't have any on there. Now, the thing I wanted to mention to you, and I want to make sure I don't forget, is as soon as Paul Heyman and Edge get off my screen, is this Sunday, not only is this Sunday the next regularly scheduled episode of the Sala Monster Sounds Off, it just so happens to be episode 700. That's going to be a regular episode that will drop as normal during the afternoon on Sunday. Sunday night, I'm going to be right back here with you live on YouTube for a special Sound Off inbox. We're going to be celebrating 700 episodes of the Sound Off, answering your questions. We'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. I'm taking email questions at thesalamonster@gmail.com. I'm taking super chat questions. So come on down. Join me on Sunday night. I'm thinking 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Eastern is what I'm thinking right now. That changes, though. I'll let you guys know this weekend. But we're going to do two podcasts on Sunday. One regular show, which will be 700, and then the other one will be 700, I guess 700 plus. A little 700 bonus on Sunday night. We've done a couple of these inboxes recently. The last one was New Year's Eve. What a night that was. That was the last time I probably drank. But that was a lot of fun. And I hope you guys will join me on Sunday night, because I'm looking forward to that. I am looking forward to that 700 episodes. Hard to believe. Yeah, Sentinel in the chat says 300 more will be at 1,000. You can do math. That's great.
Great news, everybody. Curry's PC World stores are safely back open with even better deals. Our big clearance has savings on all the big brands you love, with amazing deals all over the shop. We've got social distancing and regular cleaning, so you can shop safely. So pop round and talk tech in person with your local in-store expert today. Hurry down now. Once the deals are gone, they're gone. At Curry's PC World. Find out online if your local store is open.
Now, Sentinel, you're right. We're not too far off. It'll be a while yet. It'll be a while yet before we get there. But yeah, we are pretty close to 1,000. So that's going to be something. I better start thinking about what I want to do. I think we have time. What we have time for right now are your questions. Before we get to your questions on Sunday, we got to answer your questions now. And I want to know what you thought also of the show tonight. Or if you've seen NXT as well. How did one show compare to the other? I am not yet done with NXT, but once I am, I will talk about that on the show on Sunday. For those of you wondering when you'll get your NXT review, it will be on Sunday, as always. Naif Al-Safar sent $10 in, so Naif is usually the A number one super chat here. And there he is again. So Naif, I thank you, sir. Ian Gomez in the chat says, will Professor John Gotti give him $700? I don't think he will. I think the good professor is, I think he's reached his quota after that unbelievable super chat drop on night two of Wrestle. Although he is welcome to join us. I hope the professor does join us on Sunday night. But after that $500 super chat bomb on Sunday, I'm still reeling from that. One of the few times I was left speechless on my own show. Will Robb with the $20 says, damn it, did not attach my comment to my super chat. Well, now you did. Thanks, Will. Patrice with the $3.99. I've had this question on my mind for a while. When and why did the Walls of Jericho become a Boston Crab? The Walls of Jericho have been a Boston Crab for many years. I don't know where you've been. Early on in his AEW run, Jericho was using the Lion Tamer sometimes, where he would really wrench back and put the knee down on the back of the guy's neck. But the regular, like, Walls of Jericho, it's always been a Boston Crab. Especially in his later years in WWE, it was just a Boston Crab. There was nothing special about it. That's basically what it is now. You know, he's older, maybe he can't apply it the same way, or, you know, doesn't want to hurt his opponent. You know, it was a lot easier to put a move like that on little tiny Rey Mysterio than it would be, you know, Luchasaurus or even Dax Harwood. So that would be my guess. EJ, show is okay tonight. Random baseball question. If it's WWE Hall of Famer Pete Rose, 80th birthday, do you think he'll ever be inducted into the real Hall of Fame? No. No, he will not. Ryan Spies, happy to see Hobbs doing stuff again. Next week, he got kind of sidelined and put in the background during the Sting stuff. Alex Jimenez, you're the Sala Monster, damn it. That's right, I am. I know my own name. It's from the intro of the show every Sunday. The True Heel Master, it's good to see Christian Cage getting into a storyline program in AEW. Ken terminated with the 10th spot. Look at that. Would you say Piper always worked as a heel despite being a likable face in the 90s? Same with Flair when he, quote, fainted. Thank God Charlotte never fainted. That's why I like Rick over Ashley Flair. Yeah, Piper probably was like Hogan in that way, where he also worked heelish when he was a baby. Because when Piper was a babyface, I think he was still doing stuff like that as well. I think he was still doing back rakes and eye rakes. He would do the eye poke thing. He did that to Flair in the Royal Rumble in 92. So yeah, I mean, he still worked heelish. Oz and Glorious, I really hope Hangman and friends were able to get those Southwestern egg rolls. Yeah, that made me hungry. I'm not doing Chinese until Friday, but now I have a hankering for egg rolls. Lord Frieza, you think Rey Fénix is sort of stuck? Yes, he's great in the ring and his matches are great. But at what point does he get more? Don't know about an AEW reign, but maybe a TNT. It could, you know, look, I don't see him as AEW champion anytime in the near future. TNT title is absolutely within reach. But I don't see Darby dropping it to a babyface. So unless Fénix was to just go full on heel, I still say it's more likely that Darby drops it to someone like Lance Archer or Miro, if they ever do anything with Miro. Actually, I missed a few. There we go. Food Hive. Late to the party, but Food Hive has arrived. Well, welcome, sir. Welcome to the club. Fix yourself a nice snack. Maybe, you know, Food Hive's, the master chef here. Maybe he can fix something for all of us. I'll have you cater the stream next time. You just got to give me a heads up. I'll give you the list of what everybody wants. Everybody in the chat right now can let Food Hive know, what do you want next week? You want some pasta primavera? You want a ribeye? You want a boring kale salad? What do you want? Let Food Hive know. He's footing the bill for it. Oz and Glorious, 5 spot to shout out Professor John Gotti breaking the Super Chat record on Sunday. The professor is quite great. He is very knowledgeable. He's a very wise man, is the professor. Cool Blue Cyber 88. Hi, Sala Monster. First time donating. I hope everything is well. On midnight, it will be my birthday, and hopefully no massive layouts like last year. Well, it's not quite midnight yet, but Cool Blue, I wish you a very happy early birthday. I hope you get everything you want, and I hope the day goes really well for you. My birthday last year, like probably all yours, was fucking boring because I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything. I haven't seen a friend in 14 months or 13 months, whatever it's been. I'm hoping by the time we get to October, my birthday could be a little more exciting this year. But whatever you have planned, I hope it is a good one. Paul Heyman is joining us in the chat, and about Food Hive, he says he can cook the food using his Matt griddle. Good to see you, Paul Heyman. The true heel master. Here's a wild idea. Gorillas of Destiny and Jay White make their AEW debut to help Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston to even the odds against the Elite. Am I the only one who doesn't really give a shit about the Gorillas of Destiny? They don't really do anything for me. They're like the Good Brothers at this point. Jay White, now that I can get behind. You find a way to bring Jay White to AEW for some matches and some appearances, or even Kota Ibushi, who just dropped his championship. That's what they should be working on. Unless, of course, they want to wait until they're back out on the road, which I would understand. Can you imagine, like, you know, the AEW audience, they know who these New Japan guys are. Now imagine one of the first shows AEW is back on the road, right? In a building with like 5,000 people. And out walks Ibushi or Suzuki or Jay White. Or there's some kind of big appearance, big surprise appearance. The fucking pop that would get. You know what? If I'm them, I'm probably waiting on that too. I'm probably waiting until they can get back out on the road for that. Yes, LCT in the chat. I have not seen a friend in 14 months except you guys. You guys are the only friends I've seen in 14 months. I mean, I talk to them all the time. We're always texting and stuff. But I've been on lockdown here. Cool Blue said I meant layoff. I figured you meant layoffs. Hopefully no layoffs. But again, happy birthday. Christopher Travers, always wondered if you ever a wrestling tape trader or a video collector at all. I've been recording it off and on since 1985. I am nuts. Yeah, I wasn't a tape trader. I was very selfish with my tapes. I have a ton of tapes. I mean, I actually just junked a whole bunch of them. I just had to get rid of some of them, and there wasn't any time to start putting them on eBay or anything like that. So, I did some cleaning about 2 months ago, and I had a whole box with Monday Night Raw episodes. Some SmackDowns were probably on there too, but mostly Monday Night Raw episodes from that 97, 98, 99 period. You know, the original showings from USA. And I just said, you know, what the fuck am I going to do with this? This was before the network, they made the Peacock deal. This was like a month before they announced the Peacock deal. And I'm like, I'm just going to get rid of it. So I got rid of them. And then then they announced the Peacock deal. It's like, well, maybe I should have held on to them a little bit longer. But I still have, you know, a lot of pay-per-view tapes. And, I have the old Coliseum videos for the original WrestleManias. Those big boxes they came in. WrestleMania 4, it's the double cassette. You open it up and Hogan's head pops out. I still have all that stuff. Oz and Glorious, Solid Monsters 700 Club is better than that religious BS 700 Club on cable. I agree. Christopher, my first time ever donating to anyone. You're just that damn good. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Spanish Goddish, what's up, Sala Monster? Who do you think was the worst NXT call-up? You know, that's an impossible question to answer because you say the worst. What do you mean by that? Worst handled? There are guys who are called, or girls who are called up from NXT who are very talented, who could be big stars, and then WWE completely botches them up in some way. It's not necessarily their fault. We could probably sit here and come up with a whole bunch of kind of missed opportunity call-ups, botch call-ups. Worst call-up, though, I don't. Yeah, it's an impossible question to answer. There are people who were called up too soon. I can't really just put one name on it. I don't think that's really fair. Yeah, like Red Emissary in the chat says EC3 was quite good. But he was one of the biggest examples, the most egregious examples of somebody who was called up, who they just completely shit on for no reason. He had one match on TV with Dean Ambrose, and I guess Vince McMahon didn't like what he saw, and that was it. His career was over. Would you consider that to be the worst NXT call-up? Or are you just talking about somebody who's so just absolutely green and terrible in the ring that they never should have been called up in the first place? Because I'm sure there's been a few of those, too. Baron Corbin. Let's see. Spanish Goddess. Amber Nova is fire. That's my first time seeing her. The comedic genius with the 99 cents. Thank you, sir. EJ with the $5 super chat. Do you agree Penelope Ford is the best thing to happen to Kip Sabian's career and the worst thing to happen to Joey Janela's career? Now, I think Joey Janela is the worst thing to happen to Joey Janela's career. I think Penelope Ford is the best thing to happen to Kip Sabian, period. And I would say the same thing if I were married to Penelope Ford. It's a lucky man. Texas Rage with the $5. He's yelling. It's all caps. Dear Solomonster, what was your overall thoughts on the NXT and AEW events that I missed? And also tonight's AEW Dynamite, I missed all three, and stay safe. Well, I am not yet done going through NXT from yesterday, so I can't comment on that. Dynamite tonight, I just did a whole review. So when we're done here, you can go back and you can enjoy the full review. And I'll tell you everything I thought about the show. And if you want to go back, I've got two nights of WrestleMania. By the way, I have to thank you because between my two WrestleMania reviews, night one and night two, last I checked, we were, I believe, either closing in on or we smashed past 150,000 views on our WrestleMania reviews. And that is more than most other podcasters. There are not very many other YouTubers that I saw. Including maybe people that you guys listen to, who matched that. We actually, towered over all of them. So that's really cool. And I got to thank you for that. So over 150,000 views on the WrestleMania review and counting. If you throw in the WrestleMania predictions from Friday, it's almost 180,000 views. Insane. So again, thank you for the massive support, this past week. Food Hive. What was for dinner tonight? Cereal again? LOL. Well, it's funny you mentioned that. In fact, it was cereal again. It was a mix of the Quaker cinnamon oatmeal squares and some corn pops. With a couple of strawberries and some raisins. And some soy milk. And that was my dinner. The True Heel Master. WWE breaking up teams and factions. AEW adding more teams and factions. Yeah, there's got to be a middle ground here. We have to come to some kind of middle ground. WWE just breaks up factions for no reason. And AEW has more factions than they need. More factions than they can even feature on TV. Food Hive appears shocked that he was being sarcastic, but it turns out that it was true. I did, in fact, have cereal tonight. Let's see. Lou Rivera. I'd love a moss-covered, three-handled family gridunzel, please. Well, there you go. I just gave you one. See, Jericho should have used that move instead of that awful Boston crab. The moss-covered, three-handled family gridunzel. Brian Becerra sent $15. Look at that. Sending love, Solomonster. Also just got out of jail. Also just got out of... Wow. Just got out of... Where's my mind? Just got out of work. On the drive home, listening in the car. Also, a package from Wrestle Rumble came in today. Well, that's awesome. See, Wrestle Rumble, he acts quick. When you win a championship in those contests, I'm telling you, the next day, usually via FedEx, it goes right out. No matter where you may be, in the country, in the world, he's very efficient like that. Brian did win another belt in one of the contests. I told him to stay out of the Stone Cold contest on Sunday, give somebody else a chance, so we had a different winner. But Brian, I hope you enjoy the belt, and I apologize for putting you in jail. I thought that said you just got out of jail and you were going to listen to the stream. Which is fine. You got out of jail, that's fine. Hopefully it's not for anything too serious. Food Hive, again, the AEW women's division has improved tremendously. It has gotten better. It has improved from where it was many months ago. Ken terminated with the $5. Lou Rivera is a Perry Saturn fan. By the way, the comedic genius is a gentleman-like friend. You should get a silver plaque Solomonster. A silver plaque? What is that? Is that a YouTube thing? I think YouTube sends you a plaque when you hit 100,000 subscribers. It's going to be a while before that happens. We will get there. We will eventually get there. By the time we get there, though, I'll have, you know, I'll have creases in my face. I'll have a big furry gray beard, scraggly beard. I'll look like ZZ Top. But we will get there one day. Actually, the quickest way to get there, keep telling people to subscribe to the channel. Share the link, share the videos. Tell them, hey, you're a wrestling fan? I got a guy you should listen to. I got a guy you should watch. The more people we can get subbed, the quicker we'll get to 100K. Can't do it without you guys. We got Andrew with the $3.99. Any memories of wrestlers who were more popular at house shows than on TV? I remember Jason Jordan and Roman both got solid reactions in Nova Scotia. Yeah, I mean, that is a pretty common thing, actually, where guys might get certain reactions on TV. They might get booed or heckled. And then at the live events, they tend to be more family-centric. So instead of having, maybe college-age kids or, individuals going with their friends. I mean, you'll get that at house shows. But I feel like you get a lot more families taking their little kids to the show. So they're going to be more likely to cheer the baby faces that the company wants them to cheer and boo the heels. I think that's all that is. You know, I think that more than anything else, I think that's what that is. Judgment in the chat says, I predict Solomonster will get 100K within a year. I would not put money on that. But, hey, from your lips to whoever's listening, may it become reality. I would love to see it. It would make me very happy. LCT with the $4.99 super chat. Thank you, sir. Texas Rage. Shouting at me again. I also wanted to wish you a happy early happy birthday. Hope it's not Friday the 13th, but if we have a Friday the 13th this year, you can do a special stream. Well, it's not my birthday until October. That's the earliest birthday I've been wished. But yes, if they were, I don't know if they are releasing a Friday the 13th or not. I don't think they are. Last I heard, I think the Friday the 13th franchise was kind of tied up in some kind of legal hell. In terms of ownership. So, I mean, that's the last I heard. I don't even know if legally we'll be able to get another movie for a while. I would watch it and I would review it, though, if there was a new one. Sure. The True Heel Master. Tony Khan, hashtag please sign Katrina. Start the campaign. Oz and Glorious, do a raffle drawing for your old tapes. I bet plenty of folks here would love them as opposed to junkie. Well, I didn't say I want to get rid of them. I just said there were some that I got rid of. The ones that I kept, I'm keeping because I want them. But if I ever change my mind, if I ever, if I move, I have to get rid of them, I will not throw them away. I will make sure that if I am going to get rid of my tapes the next time, we'll make sure they end up in the hands of somebody who wants them. Let's see here. LCT, again, who do you think are the next AEW title holders? Well, I think for the AEW world title, it's going to be Hangman Page. I think for the TNT title, I'm going to say Miro. Could be Archer, but I'm going to say Miro. Actually, you know, you could even build up somebody like a Will Hobbs. Darby already feuded with Team Taz. I don't know if they want to go back to that. So I'll say Miro. Tag team champions, that's a little harder because they have so many teams. You know, Death Triangle got their shot tonight. They didn't you know, they didn't win. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe Jurassic Express, possibly. Yeah, I'll say Jurassic Express. And then as far as the, am I missing any? The women's title, Britt Baker. At Double or Nothing next month, it's going to be Britt Baker. Texas Rage, my birthday. Boy, he loves birthdays. My birthday is in June. I'll be 37. I feel old. Well, 37 is old, and what the hell does that make me? Don't say that. You're still a young man. You are still a young man. Oz and Glorious, I love Iron Mike, but I actually think he might hurt ratings due to his old prison stint. If Marty Scurll is radioactive, then so is Tyson. Tyson has been used plenty of times since then, so clearly he's not radioactive. I mean, you could argue about there being a double standard. Tyson served his time for that. He served his time and still denies it, but yeah, I mean, you could argue that there's a double standard, but again, Tyson's been doing shit with wrestling and all kinds of stuff for over 20 years since he got out of prison, so he's not radioactive. You know why he's not radioactive? Because he still made money. And if promoters think that there is money to be made with Mike Tyson, then he's not radioactive. Tyson also has become something of a redemption story that people have, I think, fallen in love with. But again, if you are someone who is not a fan of Mike Tyson or can't get behind any kind of redemption story because of what he was accused of, then I totally understand that. But Tyson is definitely not radioactive. Tyson has gone mainstream. And Tyson has been forgiven by a lot of people, which is why you see him. He's in movies. He's doing all kinds of things. But yeah, I think Tyson does maintain his innocence to this day. Jacob Barnes. I don't know if someone already asked you this, but since NXT is now on Tuesdays, would you ever consider doing weekly reviews for that as well? I would at some point consider it. I am not doing that right now because I am not sure when I will be back in the office for my other job. And I don't want to start doing streams and then in a month or 2 months or whatever it is, have to stop doing them because, you know, once I go back to work, I'm not going to want to be doing that every night. I just, you know, come home at 7:30 and then just go right into NXT at 8 o'clock. I can't commit to that. So I would rather wait and then at some point start doing the live streams than start doing them now and then in a month say, well, we got to stop doing them. So that's the main reason why I'm not doing them right now. But you'll still get your same NXT reviews on the show every Sunday. I know it's not instant, but you'll still get the NXT reviews. They just won't be live. Edwin with the $3.99 Lance Archer for TNT champion. Very possible. The comedic genius. Thanks, Ken, for the nice words. By the way, cereal is good. Cereal is good. Depends on the kind of cereal. Nothing with too much sugar in it. You know, I'm going to be having any what are the ones I used to have when I was a kid? Apple Jacks, Cookie Crisp. Those days are over. Starjun Soldiers, if I said that correctly. Thank you for the $5. I believe that's the first time that he has donated here. I don't recognize that name. EJ Slemp, buy or sell Bruno Mars or The Weeknd? I'll go The Weeknd. Texas Rage, forgot to mention I missed those events last week. Well, that's why you got to go back and watch the streams. I get you all caught up. Got tons of reviews on the channel. They're all there for you. If you miss the events, you go back and I'll bring you up to speed on everything that happened. And I'll let you know if it's worth going out of your way to go back and watch. Tap out Nick. Hey, Solo, can you agree with me that Jay White is a greater heel than Kenny Omega? I agree. I think that's a fair statement. Jay White is a better heel than Kenny Omega. Is he a better wrestler than Kenny Omega? That's up for debate. But I do believe Jay White is one of the best heels in all of wrestling right now. It's him and Roman, and you know, there's very few other names in that category at the moment. I think those are the main two, to be honest with you. Paul Heyman. Should the Warrior Award be named after Luke Harper? And can you see Luke Harper going into the Hall of Fame at some point? I can see Luke Harper going into the Hall of Fame. It might be more likely if they ever do a Wyatt family induction and not an individual induction. But even as an individual, I could see it at some point. You know, he had success in that company as part of the Wyatt family. He wrestled all the top names, Randy Orton, John Cena. He was an Intercontinental Champion. So, depending on what your criteria is, I think he meets that criteria. Do I think they should name the Warrior Award after him? I wouldn't name the Warrior Award after him. If anything, I would name it after Shad Gaspard, who may get the Warrior Award next year. You know, they gave it this year to Titus O'Neil because that is what they were going to do last year. So in 2022, it's very possible that maybe Shad will be the award recipient, but I would rename the award after him. Yeah, the Warrior Award really is not exactly in the spirit of what the Warrior wanted. I guess this year it was a little bit more kind of closer to what he envisioned it being because they honored a longtime WWE employee. You know, that guy Rich, I forgot his name, Rich with a D. So that's closer. That's more in line with what Warrior said he would want the award to be. But, you know, for many years, it really hasn't been. I would be perfectly fine with them kind of renaming it after Shad. The thing is, it's not as marketable that way. I mean, the award itself has the like a sticker on it that's modeled after the Warrior's face paint. So to them, it's all marketing. The whole thing is a marketing tool. So I don't see them changing the name, but I'm hoping that they'll honor Shad next year. You know, here's somebody who, and you would hope that any father would do the same thing for his son. Unfortunately, there are people who probably wouldn't in this world. But here's a man who gave his own life to make sure that his son was saved. I mean, if there is a greater act of heroism, I'd love to know what it is. If that doesn't represent the ultimate act of heroism and the ultimate sacrifice, then again, I don't know what is. So I would like to see him, at least if not have it renamed after him, I would like to see him be honored next year. The True Heel Master, here's a suggestion to your watch list: Zack Snyder, Justice League, and Godzilla versus Kong. There is a movie that came out I think 2 years ago called Knives Out that has Daniel Craig. I just heard of it the other day. I haven't watched it yet. If anybody has watched it, let me know if it's worth watching. It's called Knives Out. I don't know if it's a comedy or a thriller, but it sounds kind of interesting. I'm thinking of putting that on my watch list, which still has Joker on it, by the way. I'm going to watch that. The Comedic Genius. Sorry, I meant to say cereal is not good for dinner. Well, now you're just on my shit list now. Cereal is great. It's the easiest thing to make when you have nothing else to eat. EJ, how would you feel about a Cody Moxley feud? I think it's inevitable. At some point, they will feud. So, yes, it will absolutely happen at some point. And in fact, not only will it happen, but I think at that point, once they both have their kids, because they're both Prego, we might even see Renee and Brandy get involved. In fact, who knows? We may end up with a mixed tag out of it. So I think a Cody Moxley feud is absolutely going to happen. Food Hive again. Can we get a super hat? I assume that means super chat, unless he really does mean super hat, of Tony Khan yelling, "You got 9 days, 9 days. 9 days. I find myself that randomly yelling that every so often. I can't stop. Yeah, that's still a horrific promo. Matt Sydal, I'm giving you 9 days. 9 days to get ready. LCT. Any reason why the Thunderdome does not have limited live fans like NXT does? I think it's just a matter of WWE trying to play it safe. And they don't want to go back out on the road until they're ready to go back on the road full time. In fact, Nick Khan, no relation to Tony, was just talking about this the other day. He's the president of WWE. He's that big hotshot guy they brought in, I think, last year. And he was saying, when we go back in front of fans on the road, we're on the road. He goes, we're not doing these one-offs. WrestleMania was special. You will not see fans again at a WWE event until we are ready to go back on the road full time. And he wouldn't say when that would be. He only said, stay tuned. My understanding is that they are going to be in the Thunderdome at least until June or July. It sounds like they could potentially be back on the road by the end of the summer, which makes me wonder if we might have fans at SummerSlam this year. But that's just speculation. They haven't said one way or the other. But they don't want to go back on the road and then pull back and have to go back to the Thunderdome, which makes sense. You know, you only do it when you're ready to do it full time and commit to it. The True Heel Master with the $5. Last week, April 9th, was the 20-year anniversary of Austin and Triple H's infamous beating down of Lita. That was a shocking moment. It was. I mean, today, forget about it. Today, the company would be shut down and Titan Tower would be burned to the ground. But even then, even for that era, I remember watching it live and it was very uncomfortable. Which I guess was the whole point. They were trying super hard to make sure that people booed Austin because they didn't want to boo Stone Cold. And they said, how can we get Austin booed? They just turned him heel at WrestleMania. The Hardy Boys were beloved. The Hardys and Lita, Team Extreme, they were maybe one of the biggest acts on the show at that time. So, oh, I know. Let's beat them down savagely with chairs and we'll even beat up Lita. And in the building that night, it did get them a ton of heat. That's the reason they did it. But even for that time, it was, you could even look in the crowd while it was going on, and you could tell people were a little put off by it. It was definitely a rough angle. Texas Rage. I know I'm 37, but if on AEW, NXT, or WWE, pay-per-view is garbage or great, like my other favorite guy on YouTube says, that would be hilarious to do it on the 13th. Joe Oliva with the $10. I'm craving cereal right now. Can't wait for the 700th episode this Sunday. Great content tonight on AEW. Thank you, Joe. I'm glad you enjoyed it. On the whole, I thought it was a pretty good show. On the whole. Texas Rage, thank you. For the $1.99, comedic genius, buy or sell 4-hour Raw or Michael Cole commentary. That's like asking somebody, do you want to be stabbed or do you want to be shot? Do you want to be burned or do you want to be run over by a car? I'll buy a Michael Cole commentary because every now and then, at least he has a good night. There is nothing good about a 4-hour Raw. I mean, there is nothing, absolutely no redeeming qualities at all about the idea of a 4-hour Raw. Sell, sell, sell. Don't even speak such evil. Why would you even bring that up? Why would you even put that into the universe? Jay Shudo, 44, with the $5. No message, just showing love for the channel. Thank you. Texas Rage, calling it a night. Good night, sleep well. Thank you for all the super chats, bro. I appreciate it. That's the first time I've seen Texas Rage here on one of the AEW streams. He might be a newbie. Spanish Goddess, who do you think was better in their prime, Eddie Gilbert or Terry Gordy? My exposure to Eddie Gilbert in his prime at that time was it was non-existent until many years later, and I was watching his stuff on YouTube. Terry Gordy, I had a little bit more exposure to, but even Terry Gordy, it wasn't much. You know, again, I grew up in the Northeast as a WWE fan. I wasn't even exposed to a lot of this stuff until, I don't know, early to mid-90s, probably. And unfortunately for Gordy, it was probably 93, right? Was it 93-ish when he had the overdose? And he had suffered some brain damage, and he was, after that, he was never the same. But Terry Gordy, pre-overdose, was a fantastic performer. And could have been, I think, even bigger than he was. It's really a shame what happened to him. Spanish Goddess, what was your favorite memory of Brody Lee / Luke Harper? I enjoyed, you know, that time when Randy Orton had infiltrated the Wyatt family, and you could tell that Luke Harper knew this guy was full of shit. He was keeping an eye on him the whole time. I enjoyed that whole storyline. I enjoyed the ladder match that he had at TLC with Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental title. Those two guys beat the hell out of each other. And honestly, the number one moment for me might have been the night he squashed Cody on Dynamite in decisive fashion, which I wasn't expecting. I mean, he beat the hell out of him and won the TNT title. And it was cool because that, I'm sure for him, was, he probably looked at that as a validation of sorts. Even though they just needed somebody to put the belt on until Cody came back from filming, you know, the Go Big show. But for him, I'm sure that was a huge moment. After being marginalized in WWE for so long, to go somewhere else and find success and become a champion. That probably was my fondest memory of Brody Lee. Texas Rage with the 99 cents. Quintus Brown with the $10. Did you watch the new Fast 9 trailer today, finally going to see heel John Cena? I saw that the trailer came out. I have not yet seen it. I have not yet watched the trailer. In fact, I think I'm about two or three movies behind in the franchise. So, do I have to go back and watch those first? Probably, right? The True Heel Master, do you see AEW doing a blood and guts match for the women in the near future? I don't. Spanish Goddess, we need to see a stadium stampede match between Aces and Eights against the Elite. Have Wes Briscoe pin Kenny Omega. Let's not do that. You guys are asking me about 4-hour Raws and Michael Cole commentary and Aces and Eights. Yeah, I'm going to have nightmares when I go to bed tonight. What are you doing to me? And finally, Ken Terminated with the $5. Unfortunately, my friend the comedic genius is more further on your shit list, is he not? By the way, Austin beating up a woman is not a work. Well, if I had the badum tiss sound effect right now, I would hit that. That's a good one. I don't think he'll ever live that down. It is amazing, though, the things that some people get away with and other people, you know, they continuously get, beat up for. When did that happen with Austin? It was probably 2002 when that happened, right? With him and Deborah. I remember a lot of the tabloid shows were following in a chopper overhead as Austin drove away. It was like he was a fugitive on the run. You don't really hear too many people talking about that. But it was so long ago. Robbie Burns in the chat, I see, says, did you see the no leg slapping sign backstage of WrestleMania? Not only did I see it on night two stream, I showed the picture on the stream and talked about it. So, obviously you didn't join for WrestleMania. Shame on you. Andrew. Any non-WWE wrestlers that you want to debut for AEW? Yeah, I mean, it's what I was talking about before. I'd love to see more crossover with New Japan. And if there's some New Japan talents like a Jay White or a Kota Ibushi or a Minoru Suzuki or Ishii or someone like that, I would love to see them working matches in AEW, even if it's just here and there. True Heel Master says, I'm waiting for a Rock versus Cena 3 in Fast and the Furious. So it'll be thrice in a lifetime. You are waiting for thrice in a lifetime. You know, the last time we had twice in a lifetime, Rock, I think, tore every muscle in his body. I don't know how he was able to walk out of there on his own 2 feet. And now he's, what year was that? 2013? God, now he's 8 years older. I don't think he and John Cena should be getting involved in any kind of match. Amiibo Guru with the $2 Super Chat. Vic Joseph. Ooh! Coming off the ropes. He's going to hit him. Ooh! There's my Vic Joseph impression. That's the if that is the perfect final super, I think, we're all caught up now. That's the perfect final Super Chat, if it is. So thank you, Amiibo. Oh! Here's the AEW poll. Yeah, pretty consistent from what it was before. 75% thumbs up and just shy of 25% thumbs up. And you can vote in all these polls at Solomonster. On Twitter is the place to go. Every time we put these post-pay-per-view polls, post-AEW polls up, that is where you can go to let your voice be heard. And there's another way that you can let your voice be heard. This Sunday, live, right back here on the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button if you have not already done so. So when the notification goes out, you will, unless YouTube screws up again, you should get the notification. But in case you don't, I'm letting you know right now, 8 p.m. Eastern, this Sunday, we are doing a live sound-off inbox answering your email questions, your Super Chat questions. We are celebrating. It's a celebration. It's going to be a party. We are celebrating 700 episodes of the sound-off going all the way back to 2007, which is mind-boggling in some ways to me. So I hope you'll join me for the celebration that is coming up this weekend. And for the people, there was someone asking before. Let me just bring that up here. We have people who want to join and become members of the channel. You may do so. You hit that join button down below this video. Find out what's involved. Becoming a Sound Off member. We have two different tiers. Got some perks listed. Anybody who wants to join, that is the place to go. Sure do appreciate it. And now it is that time. Even though WrestleMania has come and gone, there will be another WrestleMania next year. There will always be a WrestleMania. And as such, we do a little thing on this stream where I randomly choose two people to be involved in the main event of WrestleMania. I've picked some very good matches. I think my favorite one was Andrade versus Andrade. It's a very interesting main event. I've also picked some absolutely horrendous matches. We shall see what happens this time. Chris, in the chat, the live sound, it's not... So let me explain. It is a normal episode of the Sound Off on Sunday. That is episode 700. I will be live on YouTube that night for an inbox Q&A. We are going to be celebrating 700 episodes that night. So that is 8 p.m. on Sunday, this Sunday, April 18th, just to clarify. But back to this. Pick our main event. Let's see who we got this time. One half of the WrestleMania main event is Booker T, the five-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion, Booker, King Booker. Who will King Booker be facing? It better not be Triple H, because we all know how that's going to end. Let us see who Booker T's opponent at WrestleMania will be. Booker T will be going one-on-one with Cody Rhodes. Cody and Booker is your WrestleMania main event. Well, you know, some people might consider that to be a WrestleMania-worthy main event. I don't know that I do, but still be a good match. Booker looks like he could still go. If Booker wanted to put the gear back on and get back in the ring, I think he would do quite well. I've picked worse matches. That's actually not bad compared to some of the matches I picked before. That's right. Shucky Ducky Quack Quack. Edwin, with the $4.99 Super Chat. Who do you think the Big Show's first opponent in AEW will be? Oh, that's a good question. Because he is going to wrestle at some point. I mean, it's impossible to know. Is he going to be a heel or is he going to be a babyface? I'll make a prediction. Whatever Big Show is when he debuts, by the time the show is over, he'll be the complete opposite. So if he starts out as a babyface, by the time the night is over, he'll be a heel. I'm going to say Lance Archer picks a fight with the Big Show. So I'll say Lance Archer. Well, if they want to give him a win, though, I wouldn't have him beating Lance Archer in his first match. I think Archer will be the first person that either he picks a fight with or who picks a fight with him. Like he's doing now with Sting. Maybe he'll just go through all these legends. He's going after Sting right now, then he'll go after Christian, then he'll go after Big Show. That could become his... Then he could just beat up Jake. I don't even know what the point of having Jake the Snake with him anymore is. Honestly. Archer can talk for himself. Jake recently doesn't really have much of anything to say. I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't even know that Jake has to be part of the act anymore. He could pretty much just end that whole deal. I don't think Archer needs him. Besides, Archer is complaining on television about the fact that he's not being used, he's not being featured. Shouldn't Jake, like in storyline, get him like featured on television and get him these matches that he wants? The fuck does Jake do all day? I mean, really, what is the point of even having Jake as your manager if you're still not even being featured on TV? LCT, do you think making the first hour of Raw a pre-show will make it more watchable? No. No. Because then nobody will watch. Do you watch the WWE pre-shows now? There's your answer. I'm going to guess your answer is no. So why would people watch a pre-show to Raw? I don't want to watch Raw. Let alone a pre-show to Raw. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But he says the other 2 hours would flow better and would not drag. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I hate to say it. I think we're at the point now where if USA Network were to say, you know what? We're going to go back to 2 hours of Raw, right? And everybody would rejoice. And people would be emailing me, oh, Solomonster, this is exactly what you wanted. Unfortunately, I feel like we've reached the point where it doesn't matter anymore. Raw could go back to 2 hours. It is not going to make Raw suck any less than it does on most weeks because you would be taking care of one problem, which is the fact that the show is too long, but you are completely neglecting the other problem, which is that the creative on the show largely sucks. The repeat matches suck. The format of the show sucks. You have to treat that problem first before anything else. So that show is so horrible that even just moving it back to 2 hours, it would make a minimal difference in the quality of the show. It is, I don't want to say the show is beyond repair. I don't think it's ever beyond repair, but they got a lot of work to do because I say it all the time. Monday Night Raw is the worst, certainly wrestling show, if not worst show on all of television. The True Heel Master, Vince McMahon, Brian Cage, or The Rock as your workout partner? Probably Vince McMahon. If I really wanted to whip myself into shape, probably Vince. Pal, you can do more than that. Don't be a pussy. I feel like if I really want somebody to motivate me and get me to do what I'm supposed to do, Vince McMahon is probably the way to go. Oz and Glorious with the $5. Jake the Snake calling people gerbils is better than peak QT Marshall. Probably true. You're probably right. Yeah, the genius in the chat says Raw is not that bad. I don't know what show you're watching. If you enjoy it, then hey, more power to you. Raw is absolute fucking garbage. Raw is absolute fucking garbage. Did you see that show this week? Oh, I can't wait to talk about that show this week. That was a Raw after WrestleMania, no less. I mean, you talk about the most uninspired, just bore of a show. Oh my God. Raw is not that bad. Are you actually making excuses for Monday Night Raw? No wonder the show will never get better. I mean, the show's not going to get better anyway because they have their money, so they have no incentive to change. But Raw is absolute garbage. Actually, that's an insult to garbage. I actually have to take out the garbage after. It's filled to the brim. And I think before I go and cinch up the bag to bring it out to the curb, I'm going to apologize to the garbage for what I just said, for making that comparison, because it's not fair to the garbage. So before I throw it away, I will apologize first. Do not make excuses for Monday Night Raw. It sucks. Food Hive, you got 9 days. So he's still going on about the 9 days. Still going on about the 9 days. Yeah, Steven in the chat, he might be right. The genius might be watching Raw from 1997. If that's the case, then you're correct. Raw was good that year. But you're surely not talking about Raw from 2021. I would like to think that that is not what you're talking about. Andrew says, Raw after Mania was a chance to win back the few of us that were like, hey, I'll watch because it's the Raw after Mania. And then it sucked. Paul Heyman said, I thought Retribution was done. Yeah, I think we all did. And then there's Teabag and Mace, and I like Mace. You know, Dio Madden has a certain look. He has the size. He has a certain look to him. There could be something there. But as long as he's got that the Mace stuff going on, and he's dead in the water. I mean, they're all just dead in the water. This was a chance for them to have a clean break. Keep these guys off television for a while. Repackage them, bring them back in some other capacity. And it's just right back on TV with the same shitty gimmick. And people have the gall to defend this stuff. They have the gall to defend this show. Which just proves my point that no matter how bad things are, or no matter how bad a person may be, there will always be defenders. There will always be defenders. Just objectively speaking, I just don't understand how people could actually watch Raw. And when the show is... Now, you know, unless... I don't want to name names, but... There are people who are co-opted by WWE who will... suck the teat no matter what they do. But that's kind of their job. I understand why they do it. That's not me. Food Hive. Jay the Liquid Milano is booking Raw. I don't know who that is. The comedic genius. The Raw after Mania was, wait for it. Oh, here we go. Poop. Again with this poopy stuff. Bran Alcala with $1.99 super chat. Very nice. Thank you, brother. Thank you for the $2, man. I appreciate that. We got a few more coming in, then we'll wrap it up. I'm loving the back and forth here. LCT, how is it that SmackDown and NXT are so much better than Raw? They have a stacked roster and the show is just not entertaining. I ask myself that question every week. SmackDown, you know, SmackDown has good weeks and bad weeks, but for the most part, especially the main storyline on the show with Roman and Edge and Bryan the last several weeks. They've really been carrying the show, but I enjoy a lot of the stuff Sami Zayn has been doing, Big E and Apollo. There are a lot of bright spots on that SmackDown show. NXT is largely a good show. I can't explain it. And Raw was always supposed to be the flagship. That's the one show you would think that they would want to make sure they don't let become rotten. If anything, they would want to keep Raw healthy at the expense of these other shows, but it's actually just been the opposite. The True Heel Master says, I would rather watch Maki Ito sing over Raw. And Spanish Goddess, do you think Tessa deserves a second chance? You know what? After I got burned by the Evil East stuff, I'm not gonna have an opinion on it one way or the other. Because I'm not the one who has to work with her. There's a lot of people in wrestling who apparently don't think very much of her. And that's just something that she's going to have to deal with. I'm sure she is going to get picked up at some point by one of the major promotions post-pandemic. There's a good chance it might be WWE. But, you know, again, I was advocating for Evil East to get a second chance, and look what ended up happening. And now I look like a fucking idiot. It's the last time I defend one of these people. Food Hive, he was from those classic RSPWs that you used to. Well, it's been a while since I've done the RSPW, only because we were going into the WrestleMania stuff. I was going to have a new one up a few weeks ago, and I got sidetracked by doing history segments with 21 WrestleManias and wanting to blow my brains out. But I will be doing a new RSPW very soon. In fact, I have to, it's a good reminder, I have to collect the posts for the next installment. But no, I think you're thinking of, you might be thinking of Jay Milano, unless you're thinking of Zug's Rift. Is that who you're thinking of? All right, guys, this has been fun. I want to thank you all for your support and hanging out with me tonight. Otherwise, I would be all alone. It would be very lonely without having our little Wednesday night hangout. So I hope you enjoyed the review. I thought overall it was a pretty good episode. Very solid episode of Dynamite. A fun main event, just without all the bullshit interference. They got to cut down on that. There's a lot of things that AEW needs to cool it on, and that's one of them. The Jericho thing in the match where he walked himself over to the ropes was just completely inexcusable. But Mike Tyson threw a hell of a punch on Cash Wheeler, and he sold it great, and I love that. And Jade Cargill looked good in her match. And the opening match is one of the best tag team matches in the history of the company. So I can't say that this was anything but a good show. There was enough good on this show to outweigh anything I wasn't really impressed with. Britt Baker seems to be on her way, as she should be, to an AEW championship match against Sheeta, assuming Sheeta gets past Ty Conti next week. And things are moving in the right direction. Things seem to be moving the right way. Juan Ocampo, good night, my friend. Thank you for joining me. Christopher says, Solid Monster probably has four women waiting for him downstairs. How did you know? How did you know, Chris? This reminds me, I have to go unchain them from the wall. Let me get out of here. I will see you guys. Let me throw up the banner one last time so you guys don't forget that I'm going to be live. Right back here on YouTube. Sunday night, I'll be doing a regular podcast on Sunday, episode 700, and then a special inbox. So get those questions in. TheSolemonster@gmail.com, or if you want to drop a super chat and support the channel, that would be fantastic. Either way, I hope you'll hang with me on Sunday night. And again, right back here for more AEW Dynamite, as we do each and every Wednesday. Right back here next week. Until then, have yourselves a great night. Oh, we got one more super chat. Look at this. They always got to get one in right under the radar, huh? Right under the radar. You got to get one in. The True Heel Master dropping another $5. Look at this. Evilise against Tessa in an exploding barbed wire death match. Loser has to watch Raw for 24 hours. My God, can you imagine Evilise and Tessa in the same sharing the same locker room? Talk about an explosion waiting to happen. I will see you on Sunday night. Take care.